Good morning. This morning's scripture is Acts 2:29-36, page 1551 in your pew Bible. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet,
and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to
it. He has received from the Father and promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. I forgot my place. 36. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies. I let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah."
Thank you, tall Chris.
Thank you.
Temporarily tall Chris. Isn't it great to have the kids in church? You know, this world would have a whole lot less problems if a lot of kids would get into church. Amen. Hi. Morning, everybody. Hi again. It is really great to see, you know, this crowd filling out here. You guys are good looking too. That helps. You probably heard Linda and I had a nice break down at the coast. We got a chance to unplug down there and spend a little time, you know, doing some fishing and doing some crabbing and doing some campfire sitting and just having this chance to reconnect with each other and to connect with God. And it was nice. It really was good. But I'll be honest with you, throw a little sunshine on you, and that is that we kind of missed you guys too. We truly did. Well, thank you. No, it's kind of amazing when you and you get to have that true family experience, and that's what I pray for here for everybody here in this church family. You miss it when you step away from it. You know, that chance to get together with everybody and worship together and have that fellowship with one another and collectively praise God and draw closer to Him. You know, that's an important thing in the life of a believer, and that's something we missed. And you guys you're pretty special to us. So even though it helped recharge our battery some, we were anxious to get back and to get plugged in again and to get back in our routines with you guys. We're anxious to be here for sure. And it was time to leave the coast too. You know, I can only take so much getting out fished. And I'll tell you, it happened a lot, and I brought evidence. This is what I spent my time taking pictures of fish. Linda, that's a nice lane cod. Those are two nice black. She caught that on the same rig, brought both of them in at the same time. There's another lingcod. There's another big black. There's another lingcod. There's a big red snapper. Are you seeing what's happening here? You see any fish pictures of me? So I had to tell her down there, it's like, hey, you're starting to make me look bad. You need to back off a little bit. And apparently she doesn't like anybody interfering with her fishing because she tried to pierce my ear with a crab claw. Yeah. So anyway, we did miss you guys. And it is good to be back, though. And again, I was glad to get back. That Linda was spending so much time on the side of the fishing boat there. I was thinking about changing her name. And you know what you call a girl? And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, everybody remember Easter, right? A couple weeks ago, it seems like a long time ago. Easter, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, you did so much better than Pine Grove. He is risen indeed. And that's the right response. That actually comes from Luke 24, and the verse there is 34. And that story, where this comes from, is about the two men who were followers of Jesus. They were part of his posse. And they thought, like a lot of the disciples and the others did, that he was dead, that the prophet was killed. And on that third day, they started leaving Jerusalem. They actually get a few miles away, and they're commiserating a little bit about what happened to Jesus, who they were praying was the Christ. And this man starts walking with him. He shows up. And the man starts explaining the scriptures, and he starts explaining of how Jesus actually fulfilled what was supposed to and needed to happen according to the prophecies about the Messiah. And it's that point that the men's eyes were opened to who he was. And the man disappears. It was Jesus. He disappears, but then the men become just like the women who discovered the empty tomb, and they're tripping all over each other, going back to find the disciples, where these guys, they do the same thing. And they're running miles back to Jerusalem to find the disciples and the followers of Jesus Christ, and they are so excited. And they make this exclamation similar to the ladies. They say, "It is true. The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon Peter." And can you imagine that feeling, that being there? Well, that's what we get out of Easter. So he is risen. He is risen indeed. And that brings up that question. He's risen, now what? Now what are we supposed to do, right? God gave us proof that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. The Son of God. The perfect Lamb of God, the atoning sacrifice for all the sins of humanity. God gave us this proof by resurrecting Jesus Christ from the grave. So now what? What are we supposed to do with this most glorious event in human history? And the answer to that comes from our scriptures for today. And I want to jump ahead in the storyline a little bit. Go ahead and get your Bibles opened up to Acts chapter 2, if you haven't, to our verses for today. We're going to jump ahead. We're still in the Easter season, by the way. But we're jumping ahead because our scripture comes post-Pentecost. It's what happens right after the Holy Spirit is poured out in that upper room. But Easter, technically, for the Christian church, the season lasts for 40 days after the risen Savior, after the empty tomb. And so for these 40 days, we still want to continue to celebrate God incarnate, conquering sin and death. And we still want to celebrate this new covenant that was introduced. And we want to celebrate this new direct access that is made available to us, direct access to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. But I want to step ahead just a little bit here and look at the verses today. Because it gets into the now what. And it does that by telling us two of the most basic tenets that are at the core of our faith. And it comes through two questions. First off, what were we, what are we, before Jesus Christ? And then the next question is, what do we become? Who do we become in Jesus Christ? And these two questions are really core tenets of our faith. Everybody got your Bible opened up? Give me a yeehaw if you're there.
Yeehaw.
Bring your Bible with you, by the way, on Sundays. Bring it with you. Crack that thing open. Grandma gave it to you a long time ago for a reason. Crack it open at home every once in a while, too. It's hard to live a Christian life for Christians who aren't familiar with the Word of God. And we're going to give you some backstory first. So back it up, actually, a little. Go to Acts 1, verse 3. The verses that Chris read for us today are part of the very first sermon in the new church age, the Holy Spirit-driven church. So we want to talk about what happened prior to the sermon. Okay, Acts 1, verse 3. Give me an amen if you're there.
Amen.
All right, after his suffering, that's Christ's suffering on the cross. After his suffering, he presented himself to them, That's the disciples. That's his followers. And gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Talk about evidence. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. That's the Holy Spirit, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the disciples didn't know it, but the few days that Jesus was talking about is what was going to happen on Pentecost. And Pentecost at this time was one of the God-mandated Jewish celebrations. And it happened 40 days for us after the empty tomb. And so just like Passover, there would be many pilgrims that would be coming into Jerusalem. A lot of Jewish Israelites would be coming to celebrate this Pentecost holiday. And then it happened. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The first gift of the Holy Spirit to the first church of the church age. It happened, and we're going to dig into this more on Pentecost Sunday when we celebrate that. But then it empowers Peter at this point. He is on fire with the Spirit of the Lord now, and he steps outside after a little bit, and he addresses the crowd. Look at verse 14. This is the first sermon of the Christian church. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. And he begins the first sermon. And in the sermon, he starts talking about the prophecies of what is going to happen during the end days, where we're at now. What's going to happen during the church age. He talks about all these prophecies, and he talks about how the Messiah was fulfilled in the man Jesus Christ. And he talks about the wonders and signs that Christ had performed. And then he gets into talking about this psalm, a song that David wrote. Look at verse 25. And the Israelites, they thought that the subject of this song was David. But David had a vision about the Messiah. It's actually about the Messiah. Verse 25, David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. And here's the Messiah. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. Guess what happens after 3 days in the tomb? Bodies start decomposing. I'm not trying to be graphic. I'm trying to be real. Christ did not see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. And then he starts to wrap up the sermon with the verses for today. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried. His tomb is here to this day. He was not the Messiah. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. And seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Evidence. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven. And yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Again, he's talking about the Father and the Son. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, ouch, both Lord and Messiah. So brothers and sisters, the verses that Chris read for us this morning, they're the conclusion of Peter's Holy Spirit-driven, empowered, inspired Peter's sermon, this message that showed the fulfillment of prophecy in the Christ, the risen Savior in the Christ, the eyewitness accounts of the resurrected Christ, the exalted and glorified Son of God in Christ. He talked about the promised gift of the Holy Spirit and this spiritual baptism by spiritual fire that we all receive. That Peter's got it going on. He's throwing down the fire and brimstone. He's preaching and everybody's amening. A couple of them might even be saying yeehaw. He's got it going on. He's firing up with the Spirit-inspired message. But then that last verse there, he gives us that one thing that is basic and that's foundational to our faith. The hard part. Peter told the crowd, and he tells us who we are, what we have done before Jesus Christ, before we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior. Look at verse 36 again. And underline these words, whom you crucified. Whom you crucified. Can there be any words that are more convicting? Whom you crucified. And Peter wasn't just talking about the people that were there. It's not what I'm talking about, whom you crucified. He's not just addressing those that were physically there, the ones who nailed him to the cross, not the ones who were physically in the crowd. They were hurling the insults and were mocking him. He's not talking about the ones that were there spitting on him and mocking him. Whom you crucified. Who Peter was talking about and who I am talking about is their sins, my sins, and brothers and sisters, your sins, crucified Jesus Christ. That is what you have done. That is who you are before you get to know him. You're the one who killed him. Jesus Christ, the Lord and Messiah, God made him that way and you killed him. That is who we are without him. We are these dark and evil and lost and filthy and prone to falling, to chasing after the world's desires and lusts. We're enemies of God. That's who we are. There's no sugarcoating it. I'm not trying to be insulting here. You know, I'm not saying you're not a good person according to the world's standards, but according to God's perfect standard, all of us, every single one of us, his perfect sinless standard, all of us fall short. In fact, we do more than fall short. We fail big time. And we fail so big that only the sacrifice of the perfect Son of God could clean up our polluted hearts. Who we are without Christ, that's what held him on that cross. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Isaiah 53. He himself bore our sins in his body on that cross. 1 Peter 2. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. That's Romans 4:25. So brothers and sisters, our sins are what crucified Jesus Christ on that cross. That is who we are. We are the ones that killed him. And if that is something you can't accept, you know, thinking that being a good person is enough, well, then there is no hope for salvation for you. And that is a hard truth, but folks, I owe you the truth. You know, you ask yourself, if I'm unable to live up to God's perfect standard, how could I possibly be good enough to earn his salvation? And the answer is we can't do it without him. And this type of thinking, this, you know, be a good person type of thinking, you know, people that think that way cheapen the sacrifice of the Son of God. Because if any one of us could be good enough, why did Jesus Christ even have to die in the first place? Why did he have to suffer so bad and take that full wrath of God unless it was absolutely necessary? You know, what is absolutely necessary? What is the only way to save you and to save me? He was delivered over to death for our sins. And then he was raised to life for our justification. Jesus Christ had to die. He had to be resurrected to life in order to save us. The ones who are the enemies of God. Talk about love. He didn't have to do that. But man, imagine the conviction of that. Imagine being in the crowd and hearing Peter say that. He's Lord and Messiah, and you killed him. And when they had their eyes open to that, the people in the crowd, they understood that. When they figured out that they were sinners whose lives and their thoughts and every particle of their being, every makeup of them, when they realized that that is what held him to the cross, that God made this Jesus Lord and Messiah and you killed him, when they had their eyes open to that, it hurt them. It cut them to the bone. Take a look at verse 37 here. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And I think they probably said it a little bit like that. Can you imagine all of a sudden, "Hey, dude, you're the one who killed him. Man, I'm sorry. What can I do?" You want to try to make it right, right? They had their eyes open to who they were and what they had done, but there's good news. Good news for them. There's good news for us. Look at verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all of you who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Now, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ had to die so that he might defeat sin and defeat death for us. He had to take the punishment for us because we're not good enough. He took that wrath for all of humanity's sins so that we might be justified, that we might be made right before God. He was delivered over to death for our sins, but he was resurrected so that we might be justified. That is some pretty cool news right there. Amen? That is definitely a display of love that nobody here can match. And when we hear that, it leads us into that second foundational truth of our faith. You know, who do we become? What happens to us once we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Folks, when we realize this, when we recognize that we're sinners, when we understand that it is our sin, too, that held him to that cross, when we have our eyes opened, if we will only go to him and repent, if we turn from our ways on this earth, if we go to him and repent and accept him into our hearts, then we'll be forgiven. And we're justified before God. We're forgiven. And yeah, we're still going to fall short. Well, we're still walking in the flesh. We're still going to fall to the lust and the temptations of this world. We're still going to give in to sin. But folks, now we have this blood of the Lamb that has washed us clean and it presents us before God as sinless. And that is some pretty amazing grace right there. That's worth a big amen. God's grace stooped way low in order to save us. That is amazing grace. Turn to your neighbor and say, "That's some amazing grace." That is amazing grace. That's so amazing it saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. I'm feeling kind of street preachery right now. Man, I tell you, when you've had your eyes open to that, not just what he has offered, but who you were, it can really be humbling. But Jesus Christ is risen. And now what?
He's risen indeed.
Yeah. Well, for those of us who have already accepted him as Jesus Christ, having him in our hearts now, we've got a calling. If he's your Lord and Savior, then from now on it is your job to grow closer to him, to grow more deeply in him, to pursue holiness, sanctification. As God is holy, so shall you be holy. It's your job now to share the good news of the gospel. It's your job now to share the gifts that you have been given to the benefit of others. It's your job now to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. It's your job now to love your neighbor as yourself. It's your job now to set that Holy Spirit loose in your life. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. It's your job to let him go to work to mold you a little bit more into the image of God's Son each and every day for the rest of your life. To reflect that love of Jesus Christ in your words and your actions with others. That's your job now. And if you're someone who's heard God's word today and you have yet to surrender your life to him, you know, maybe you used to think that being good was good enough, or maybe you've had this unexplainable curiosity about that God thing. You know, maybe you're someone who's been thinking a lot about what happens to you after you die. Maybe that's you. But if you heard God's word today and you have yet to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to warn you. I want to plead with you, just like Peter did to the crowd that day. Accept the message. If you don't have Christ, you're lost in sin and death without him. And your sins are what nailed him to the cross. And it's your sins that are going to leave you standing before God short of his perfect standard. So don't wait. It's time to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Be forgiven. Be justified. You know, be saved. Become an adopted son or daughter of the living God. God's got the adoption paperwork already filled out with your name on it. All you got to do is sign. He makes it pretty easy. Amen? If you're still living life without Jesus, then you're like the ones in the crowd that heard the very first sermon of the Christian church. And so the question is, you know, have you had your eyes opened yet? And like I said, once they are, it is a life-changing experience. There's a song from Stuart Townend called How Deep the Father's Love, I think, that captures this pretty well. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life, and I know that it is finished. You know, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ's dying breath is offering you life. So have you had your eyes opened yet? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for what you have done in order to reconcile us back to you. Jesus Christ, we praise you for following the will of the Father, for giving your life as this atoning sacrifice for our sins. And I pray, Father, that you open our hearts, you reveal to us in our thoughts the realization of what we are without you. And without Jesus, we are destined for hell. It is a hard truth, God, but I pray that you burn it into our souls so that, Lord, we don't come to you out of threat, out of worry, but out of the love that you displayed in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we don't come to you as slaves. We come to you as your children, your sons and daughters. And so as we respect you and revere you, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for the grace that was shown and the love that you want to share with each and every one of us. We thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
The scripture that I have today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 10, 9 and 10. I swear these letters get littler and littler. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Will you join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The night that Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood that is poured out for you. Whenever you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." Our Lord Jesus, Messiah, again we give you thanks for taking our place on that cross, for suffering the wrath of God absorbing the punishment that we deserve. But we thank you for loving us enough to spill your blood that we may be made clean, that we may be made right and justified before God. We give you thanks for that. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Folks, I make the offer every week. If you have never done this, come and find me after the service today. I'd love to sit down and talk with you and pray about it. For now, let's go to God one more time in song and praise.
Trod with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Silver spray, we will walk and worship ever all the happy golden day. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Will deliver and provide a robe and crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather river.
Join me in the affirmation of faith. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was crucified on the cross in order that my sins may be forgiven. I trust in him alone as my Lord and Savior. Now, normally I'd give you a benediction and say go in peace and we'd go have some potluck, but we got to conduct some business a little bit here. So what I wanted to set up for our meeting and what we want to become as a church, what we're working on continually becoming, is that very first Christian church. This is what happened after they heard that first message, by the way. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. We don't need that many. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What a great example. Folks, that's the church that we want to be as well. If you can't stick around for the meeting, I understand. But Lori's going to come on up. We'll conduct a little bit of our business the government requires us to do. And so if you can hang out here, please have a seat and we'll Get it done. I pray today that the message spoke to you and that God filled your heart with love. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you do it now? Just pray this prayer with me. Pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and to come into my life. I want to trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen. Can I pray for you now? Father, for those that have spoken this prayer, have reached out sincerely from their hearts saying this for the first time, Father, would you watch over them? Would you fill them with your Holy Spirit? Would you protect them? Would you break those chains of sin that have held them down for their whole lives? And God, I lift them up to you, and I ask that you bless them. I ask that you work in their lives. I ask, Father, that you use them for your will, as your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time today, would you share that with us? Reach out to us at yeastcommunitychurch@gmail.com, or there's a link where you can send us a message at yeastcc.org. And I pray that you continue to grow in the faith. I pray that you continue to seek out the Lord and His guidance. And if you're local, we would love to have you come be part of our church family. And if you're watching this from another location, please seek out a church family that preaches from the Bible, and that has the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the best way to help sustain you in your faith. Thank you for watching, and we hope to see you next week.